Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, Dr. Tan, with I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast of Tana Ministries. Tonight, the podcast will be entitled Exposed, Their Plot versus God's Chosen. Again, tonight's podcast will be entitled Exposed, Their Plot versus God's Chosen. Tonight, I just wanted to give you some inspirational nuggets to get you through the rest of this week. And I wanted to make sure that I brought to you what has been in my spirit for a few weeks. And so tonight, I am going to bring my inspirational nuggets from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, verses 18. And so I'll use verses 18 through 23. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and read that, and then I'm going to interweave the key points that I want to make tonight. And I promise I won't be before you long. And so Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 through 23. And it reads, "And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, the judges righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thy die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by their sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no more remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of this visitation." And I read it from the King James Version. And so let me just give you some background knowledge about Jeremiah and this place called Anathoth. And so Jeremiah is in his hometown of Anathoth. And God has revealed to him that his hometown, the people in his hometown, were plotting to kill him. And they wanted to kill him for several reasons. And so I'm going to get into those reasons in just a moment. That's the part of the title, Their Plot. Now, let's talk about the exposed part, and then I'll go back to Jeremiah. The exposed, when we talk about being exposed, we often think about something that is done in the dark that is revealed in the light. So And when we think about exposure, we think about most of the time something that is not should not be done. But I want to challenge you to also think about exposures when God gets ready to expose those chosen vessels, when he gets ready to expose. So it can be exposure of the enemy plotting against you. And it can also be exposure of when God sets forth or gives his chosen vessels the go ahead to come forth to be for him to announce them. Most of the time, the chosen vessels are hidden for a period of time. Not most of the time, but all the time. When God is preparing his chosen vessels, they are hidden from plain sight while God is working on them, preparing them for their assignment. And then when the time is right, God allows them to be exposed. In other words, he brings them forth for others to see that all while they were hitting, he was working on them, pruning them, preparing them for the assignment. And then when the time was right, when that season for their assignment came, then he allows them to be exposed. They are announced to the world. And so I want to challenge you to look at exposure in those two ways. And then when we think about exposure, you know, I'm thinking about the correct exposure when you're talking about taking pictures or photography. And I'm not a photographer, but I just know that when you are thinking about having a correct exposure, it means to have a balance. So you want to make sure that you don't have, the light is captured correctly in the camera. And so that way that ensures that that your picture is not too dark and that your picture is not too light. You have that perfect balance. And so we think about exposure and the perfect balance when it talks about what is happening in the world. We have the worldly influences, and then we have the Holy Spirit that influences us daily. It offsets a lot of the evil that we see in the world, even though it appears that when we're going through things in life, that it is so overwhelming to us that it seems as if good is not present. It appears that if there is not anything where you're experiencing those negative issues, that it experienced that good has evaded us or avoided us. And so we have to be mindful that when we are dealing with situations in life, that we don't allow the negativity to destroy our positivity, because it is very easy to allow negative thoughts, negative influences, or negative situations to taint our faith and make us feel as if there is no hope in sight. So I wanted to bring that point up too, as we talk about the exposed portion of the title, Exposed, Their Plot Versus God Chosen. And so the chosen would be in this case, Jeremiah, and then we'll get more into that. Let me just give you a scripture when it talks about the light and the darkness. And we're talking about exposure. And I'm going to give you this scripture, and then we're going to navigate on through the lesson for tonight. And so I want to look at Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 14. So Ephesians 5. Let me get there. Ephesians 5, verse 8. through 14. And it reads, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. There's that word expose. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And so, in other words, it says to walk in the light, expose those things of darkness. And it doesn't necessarily mean to expose it just in other people, but to also be mindful to shed that same light of self-examination on yourself, where that you can purge those things that are not of God. And so to expose those areas of sinful natures that we have, to expose the strongholds that we have, that exposure is important. So that scripture was, again, Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And so we've talked about exposed or exposure. Now let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. And again, we're coming from Jeremiah 11, verses 18 through 23. And as I told you before, this is Jeremiah was in his hometown, Anathoth. And his hometown was plotting to kill him. And they wanted to kill him because they wanted to silence his message. In other words, his message was the light. And the people at Anathoth were representing the darkness. And what happens is when the enemy wants to shut us down, when he doesn't want us praising God, when he doesn't want us to give God the glory, when he doesn't want us to have a praise party instead of a pity party, what he does is he sends his little minions on assignment, and he attempts to disrupt our lives, to bring chaos and confusion. He wants to bring depression and despair. And so this is his way, because he cannot physically take it from us, but he can get us to keep our mind stayed on the problem instead of our mind stayed on Christ. And so his tactic is to show us negativity. His tactic is to show us hopelessness. And so we have to be mindful to understand the attacks of the enemy. And we have to understand the tactics that he will use. And so this plot to kill Jeremiah came from his hometown. And they wanted to, and this included his family members as well. This is family members. This is just people in his hometown. And so they wanted to silence his message. And so they had a few reasons why they wanted to do that. Now, one of the reasons was they condemned, because Jeremiah condemned idol worship. And you know, for the people that was making these idols, the idol makers, this would hurt their business. So in other words, it was because of the economical correlation to his hometown, it would affect the economy. In other words, they wanted to profit from this ungodliness, from idol worship. And so that was not going to be a good thing. So Jeremiah made sure that he condemned idol worship. It wasn't because he condemned it, but it's because that was what thus said the Lord. And so if we want to just look at it, if you go to Exodus 24 and 5, Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, it says, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I'm a jealous God. If you look at Leviticus 19 and 4, it reads, do not turn to idols or make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God. And then if we look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 14, it says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry, which is the worship of idol gods. And so this Jeremiah is basically stating what God has told him, what he knows to be true. God says, you will have no other God before him. He does not want us to worship idol gods. And so Jeremiah is a prophet and he is speaking the word of God. And so this made the idol makers upset because this would affect the economy. This would affect their business. This would affect their bottom line. So the first reason was because it had something to do with the economy. It was economical, and it had negative impact on the economy. Another reason why they wanted to kill Jeremiah is because his message brought about conviction, because he was preaching the word of God. And so his word, the word that he was speaking, brought about conviction. And the people didn't like feeling guilty. They hated to feel guilty. They didn't like having their conscience pricked. They felt like they was living their own life, living their best life. They didn't want to change. And so they refused to repent. And so if we look at Hebrew chapter 4, verses 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, it convicts you because it checks your heart posture. And your heart posture, you have to make sure that it is pure with intent. And so second reason was they felt convicted. So it was religious. It was based on their beliefs and their faith. Their belief system and how they operated and what they stood for. Another reason is why the people of Anathoth wanted to kill Jeremiah was because he openly rebuked their hypocritical politics. In other words, their actions contradicted what they said. You know, they talked the talk, but they didn't walk the walk. They wanted to have their own perspective, and when it came to government decisions and their perspective. And so they did not like the fact that they were hypocrites. They would say this and do that. And so when Jeremiah got on the scene, he brought the light of his message, exposed their hypocriticalness. It exposed their need to make a profit instead of standing on God's promises and being obedient. It exposed the fact that they did not want to repent and that they wanted to stay in their sinful ways. And then another reason, or the last reason that I want to bring to your attention, is that the reason why they wanted to kill Jeremiah is because they hated Jeremiah, because he wanted them to live righteously. He gave them constructive criticism. And this was not based on what he thought they should be doing, but this was based on the word of God. And so they did not like that. They didn't like the fact that he wanted them to be better. And so because they did not want to change, and that made it personal, they felt like, who is Jeremiah to tell us what we need to be doing? Why do Jeremiah need to express to us what thus says the word of God? We can live any kind of way we want to. This is what we want to do. And so this is very important, because Jeremiah did not realize that because he was in his hometown, he thought it was all good. He didn't think that he had an issue. It took for God to reveal to him the plot. And the reason why the plot was revealed to him was not to hinder Jeremiah. It was not to discourage him, but it was so that he could be aware, so that he could watch as well as pray. Because a lot of times we get so content with our circle, or we get content with people that we used to interact with. And a lot of the times we have outgrown those people. We have outgrown certain places, and we're trying to still fit them in the space where God is trying to stretch us to move forward and up. And if we are to be honest with ourselves, where God is taking us, everybody can't go. And we have to understand that people are with us for three reasons. They're with us for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And so we can't mistake a person is with us for a season and think that they should be with us for a lifetime. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and we have to be still and listen so that we can discern what is needed in each season of our life. If we're not careful, we will have someone that should be in our life for a season, and we'll be trying to string them along for a lifetime, and they will be wreaking havoc on our progress on this spiritual journey that we're on. And so we have to be mindful of that. And Jeremiah probably felt offended. He probably felt offended because he was in his hometown and he was rejected. But let me tell you something. Jesus was also rejected. If you look in, I want to say John 1 and 11. Let me pull it up. John 1 and 11. And it says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And there was his own, and the own means his own people, the Jewish people. He was rejected. But even though he was rejected, he still died for all of our sins. Even the ones that rejected him, he died for all of our sins. Isn't that amazing that if it had not been for him, their sins would not have been forgiven and they rejected him? But let's move it. Let's compare it to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was rejected, but he still had to do the work that God had sent him there to do. And ironically, even though he was rejected, he ended up showing his faith by praying to God, asking him to lead and guide him. Now, God had already told him. We read it in when I read Jeremiah 18 and 23, when he said that he would punish them for rejecting his prophet. Okay? But even then, Jeremiah bought land there, which is ironic. So let's keep moving. Now, I read Jeremiah 18 and 23, and we talked about the reasons why they did not receive Jeremiah. And we didn't talk about why he chose to stay. So let me tell you why he chose to stay. He knew that the anointing on his life was greater than any opposition he could face. He knew that. He had two choices. Jeremiah could have ran and hide, or he could stay in faith and let God have his way. And he chose the latter. He chose to stay in faith and let God have his way. Now, that did not mean that it wasn't hard. It doesn't mean that he didn't go through some struggles and he didn't feel like giving up. It didn't mean that he didn't understand why his hometown rejected him. And, you know, he was known as the weeping prophet because he would lament, which means to cry out to God, Lord, I'm telling them, I'm preaching your word, I'm praying and prophesying, I'm asking them to turn from their wicked ways, and they have turned a deaf ear to me. They're not listening. I don't know what to do. You want me to keep prophesying and keep preaching and praying, and I'm doing that, but it doesn't look like anything is happening, anything is working. And at some point it gets overwhelming. And let me kind of just put it in comparison if we bring it to our reality. Some of you that are listening to the sound of my voice have children or grandchildren or loved ones that you've been praying and praying and praying, and it seems like nothing is happening, that they're not making any turn for the better. But I want to tell you that God is still working behind the scenes. When it feels as if God is not moving, when it seems as if your situation is not turning, God is working. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean that we shouldn't believe it. And so in Jeremiah's situation, he was working. Just didn't seem that way because it felt as if Jeremiah felt like, hey, I'm doing this in vain. Nothing is happening. Or I keep praying. And you know what happens is that's called mental fatigue. That's when our faith is becoming depleted because now we are looking at it in the natural. In the natural realm, and we're not allowing the Lord to be our strength, the joy of the Lord to be our strength. We're trying to do it on our own. We're looking at our might and our strength. And scripture tells us that we can do all things through Christ. And so if we take Christ out the equation, then we're not going to be able to do it. And so that's what happens a lot of times. We start to try to figure it out on our own and we leave Christ out of it. Or we get impatient with Christ, with the time frame or the timeline that God decides that he wants to do it because it's his time, not ours. We're not on his time. And then we get impatient and we try to rush the process. But I'm telling you, you can rush the process, but it's going to happen in his time and his way. And if you rush the process, you just got to start back over again because you didn't do it the way he wanted you to. And so this is Jeremiah's plea. He stays in faith. He doesn't try to do it his way. He doesn't run and hide. But it doesn't mean that he's not faced with overt opposition. You know, this opposition is so great. It's so overwhelming, and it's him and God. And so Romans 8 and 31, you've heard me quote this scripture before. It says, if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. So it's Jeremiah and God against all of these people. He's there doing God's work. And sometimes, even in your life, you feel like you're all alone, that you're in this situation, nobody understands, or that wherever you are, whether it's family, whether it's at your job, wherever it may be, you feel like the enemy has ganged up on you. And so now you're saying to yourself, what is happening? But just like Jeremiah, you have to stay in faith. And what God will do, if he doesn't change the situation, he will change how you see the circumstances. But in the end, if you stay with God, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, you will prevail and you will be victorious. So what does that tell us? What do we need to do? Because we understand that the exposure is twofold. God will expose the enemy's plots, and he does that not for us to do anything, but he does it for a reason, and we'll get to that. And then he will expose his chosen vessels for such a time as this, whatever that particular assignment is. He'll shed light. He'll allow those that are carrying the light of the message of the word of God for an appointed time to be exposed. revealed. So we have to choose too in life. We can either cower down to the worldly systems. In essence, we'll give in to fear. Or we can stand on faith and exude God's power through our obedience and our faith in his power. Now, you might wonder, why is this lesson so important? Well, it's important for a few reasons. And it's because, you know, some of you have been rejected in your own hometown, your place of employment, your family circle, or even amongst your so-called friends because you chose to stand on a solid foundation. But you can't lose hope. God is exposing the ones that secretly envy you, that want to replace you, despise you, that are plotting against you. And he's doing this not for you to react, but so that you can govern how you act. In other words, you don't have to get upset because the enemy is plotting. The enemy is doing his job. He's trying to get you off course. He's trying to taint your faith with fear. He's trying to make you feel that the situation or the circumstances or the problem that you face is bigger than your God. And the answer to that is not true. It is not. It's nothing that you will ever face or go through that is bigger than the God you serve. But what I do know is that when we're going through the pressing, when we're going through our trials of tribulation, it produces character. And our character is very important because that also identifies what type of heart posture we have. And so we have to remember that if we already know that God is who he is, God is God and he's God all alone. We already know that nobody can defeat him. He's undefeated. He's never lost a battle. So we already know that he is victorious. And if we claim to be victorious in him, then there's no need to let it bother us. The reason why he exposes the enemy, the reason why he allows you to see who's plotting against you is because he doesn't want you to be deceived. He shows you so that you won't put your trust in them, but you will put your trust in him. And he shows you also not for you to try to fix it yourself. Because if God is showing you where your enemies are, he said, you know, I got this. And he's showing you because he's going to, in his time, make your enemy your footstool. Let me tell you something. You ever had a situation where you're dealing with a circumstance that people have been plotting or mistreating you or gossiping about you? And them very same people have to turn around and need your help. That's God making your enemy your footstool. And you don't even have to do nothing about it. They talk about you on today and then tomorrow they need your help. That's God showing you I'm taking care of it. And you know what happens? They hate that they have to ask you, but what God does is fix it where they don't have no other alternative but to ask you. And I'm pretty sure they wish that out of all the people in the world, they didn't have to come back to you after they was talking about you. And it's kind of funny because when they talk about you and they plotting against you, they can't hardly look at you. They try to avoid you. And then when they have to come back to you, then they kind of moping back, needing your help. And they feel, it makes them feel really bad. And you wonder like, why are they avoiding me? Your light is dissipating their darkness. And when light shows up, it exposes whatever issues. It exposes whatever flaws. I'll give you a great example. If you took a marker and you, in the dark, you wrote on the wall. In the dark, you couldn't see the markings because it's dark. Does that mean that the markings that you wrote on the wall are not there? No, they're there. And that's what sin does. It lies under the surface until it's exposed. And what? How does it expose? It's by the word of God. Because the word of God exposes our sinful nature. And it's not to make us bitter, it's to make us better. But once you cut the light on, the markings that you couldn't see in the dark are now exposed to the light. And the exposure, the light, should not make you feel bad. It should make you want to repent and to do better. To clean that area of your life up with the help of the Lord. But the truth about it is, some people don't want help. They like living in the darkness. They like the worldly systems. They like because everybody else is doing it. So why do I need to be the one to live righteously? But let me tell you what I know to be true. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. And just because no one is doing it doesn't make it wrong. Sin, when you engage in it over a period of time, you become numb to it. And so a lot of people are like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing it? Well, because they didn't became numb to it. We all have been there. We all have had some strongholds, some situations in our lives, some circumstances that we needed deliverance from. And it took prayer from those prayer warriors that were in our life, praying for us to get better. And it took for us to have faith and to continue to stand on God's promises, because we're not perfect. None of us are. But we are perfected by the word of God and his holy power for his purpose. And what does that mean? Every day of our life, we're going to have to choose righteousness. And it's not for us to condemn those that are living in a dark space and we can see it. A lot of times people reject you because you represent the light that exposes their flaws. Not that you're doing it intentionally, but just who you are represents the light. And so you are talked about, ridiculed, picked on. But God placed you in that position, placed you in that place or that employment, placed you in that family, wherever he has positioned you. You can always bloom where you're planted. He's put you there for a purpose so that you can be a light in the midst of darkness. Now, God is very intentional, and he knows who needs to be positioned where at what time to get what result. And we have to stop looking at ourselves as if we don't have the power that God has put on the inside of us, because we do. So when he allows you to know who is plotting against you and talking about you, he don't want you to mistreat them. He wants you to treat them good. Pray for them. You got to watch them. It don't mean you would tell them everything that you got going on, but he doesn't want you to change who you are because they are not where they need to be in Christ. What he needs you to do is to be still and know that he is God. And you have to understand that the exposure is necessary. It's a process. It rids you of that that doesn't serve you. You need exposure. Just like you have to work on yourself and those strongholds that hinder you, you also have to let go of the people that don't value you and that are trying to hold you back. They're not bringing anything to the table but trouble. You have to let go of those that don't respect you but always want to provoke you, want to challenge you, not for the better. And you can't take this personal. Now, it could be personal to the ones that are trying to plot against you. They might have a personal reason. But let me tell you something. No attack of the enemy is going to prevail as long as you stay in God's hand. If you stay in his will and you stay in his way. What I do know is that even though if they take it personal, it shouldn't be personal to you. Because what is happening is God is using this problem to perfect your purpose. It's necessary. Scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. Requires a little bit more of your faith, you know, requires a little bit more of your time, more obedience, more prayer. Because God has chosen you for such a time as this. Exposed their plot versus God's chosen. If you are chosen by God, their plot is not going to matter. He will expose their plot and he will expose that he has his hand on you. You have to understand that everything that you go through is necessary, it's purposeful, and it's working for your good. Scripture says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And this is what God was telling Jeremiah. I sent you for a purpose. And because those that have condemned you, have talked about you, plotted against you, I'm going to handle them. And you heard what he said in verse 23. They basically, the plot that they had against Jeremiah was basically turned on them. They plotted to kill him, and now their life was in jeopardy. And so we have to remember that if God has his hand on us, there's nothing the enemy can do with us. We also have to understand that a lot of times when you are having these issues with people plotting, jealous, and gossiping, we call them busybodies. And so these busybodies are people that don't have time. They are meddling in everybody else's business. And they don't have time to really pay attention to their own. And that's how things go undone, because they worried about what the next person is doing or what the next person is doing. Instead of focusing on their faith walk and their personal relationship with Christ. And a lot of times this is happening because insecurity takes many different shapes and forms. Some people are insecure and their insecurity is loud, so they got to gravitate to a group of other people that have insecurities just to gang up on you because your confidence is silent. Doesn't have to be announced. And so it's kind of like being in a room of insecurity. Confidence will always stand out. Same thing with faith. If you're in the room with a lot of fearful people, then the one that has faith will be able to lead the way. And so what does that mean? Jeremiah had to endure the trials and tribulations. He had to endure the persecution. He had to endure because even though God had his hand on him, he gave him divine protection. That did not take away or negate the hardship that he would experience. The hardship was not to break him, but to make him better, to get him prepared for his next level of greatness. So you have to understand, you will be resisted, rejected, mistreated. You might even be talked about, gossiped about. You know, left out. And all those things, when we talk about the world, it seems so dire. They're leaving you out of conversations that you should be a part of. It doesn't matter, because whatever God wants you to know, he's going to give it to you anyway. And it doesn't matter in what capacities. It could be on your job. could be in your family, wherever it is. It could be in your friend circle. They're leaving you out because your light exposes their darkness. And just because they leave you out doesn't matter, because God counts you in. And if God is counting you in, it doesn't matter if they've been talking about it for years, for months, and they didn't tell you a thing. Whatever God has for you is for you. And whatever God wants you to know, you will know. Same thing if you're dealing with something on your job where people refusing to train you and they're leaving you out of important meetings, or they don't want to give you the information. You ask them for something, they say, hey, I'll do it, instead of just showing you. Let me tell you what I know to be true. It's nothing wrong with helping somebody else. You helping them is not going to take away from the talent and the gift that God has given you. Understand that nobody can be better at being you than you. And so refusal to help somebody else, or refusal to pass the torch to somebody else, says a lot about your heart posture and your character, because somebody had to help you. And so you have to understand, when people are doing that on your job, don't get upset with them. Let them have it. Scripture says, if they want your hat, give them the coat too. Doesn't necessarily say that, but what I'm saying is, God says they want it, let them have it. You don't have to wrestle with them, because what is for you is for you. And what I have put inside of you, what I have gifted you with, what I have instilled inside of you, no man can take it. He says your gift will make room for you. Not their gift, but your gift will make room for you. So you don't need what they get. They can leave you out of every meeting. Guess what's going to happen? He says, if you lack wisdom, ask, and he'll give it to you. So he made everything in the world. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that means that whatever situation that you find that you need a little help in, all you got to do is call him on up. Call him on up, and he's going to give you what you need when you need it. Or he'll send somebody to help you. That's what God will do. He always has a ram in the bush. He'll give you the knowledge that you didn't even know you had to get what you need done. So don't get frustrated. All they're doing is sowing seeds of discord that has to come at some point in as their harvest. Because scripture tells us also that you reap what you sow. And a lot of people are sowing these seeds that when they get ready to come back up, they're not going to be able to stand them. It's going to be too hard for them to handle. So you have to understand, let them ignore you. Let them try to discredit you. They can do whatever they want. The reason why you shouldn't get upset is the very fact that you're still here, and that every day God is making a way for you to be successful. It doesn't change anything. They left you out, but God worked it out. I want you to look at the situation. Now, does it make you upset? Of course. But just like Jeremiah, he had to endure. They plotting against him. They plotting to kill him. The same people he grew up with, his family members. He just wants them to do better. He wants them to be better. He's proclaiming the word of the Lord. He's trying to help them to get the blessings and to cut off to get the generational blessings and cut off all those generational curses that it talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He wants them to be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. He wants them to be above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. He want to be blessed when they're coming in and blessed when they're going out. That's what he wants for them, but evidently they don't want that. So they plotted. But guess what? Didn't matter, because in the end, Jeremiah prevailed. Remember that Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed. Didn't say it wasn't formed. It says no weapon formed. So it did form. Will prosper. It's not going to work. So You know, our Heavenly Father is not going to take away every hard situation, because then it means that our faith has not been tested. And if it hasn't been tested, it can't be trusted. In order for your faith level to increase, you have to go through some things. You have to prove that your faith is being worked. It says faith without works is dead. So if you never go in and go through anything, your faith has not been worked. Therefore, it's dead, which means it's irrelevant. It's not active. It's not producing anything. So what do you must do? Stand on his promises. Never take your eye off the cross. You know where your help coming from. Stay with God. Don't worry about it. Family members talking about you, isolated you out the group. That's okay. They can have their group. You don't need their group. You don't need to be associated with people that maybe God is pulling you out for a reason. He says to separate yourself from those that are walking in unrighteousness. In other words, unequally yoked. You got non-believers with believers. He said, what good is light with darkness? Doesn't mix. So maybe he's pulling you out. Maybe what they are doing compromises where you are in your faith journey. And scripture also tells us that bad company corrupts good character. There it is again, heart posture. It corrupts it. Because you might have the pressure, peer pressure of trying to fit in, or trying to be like everybody else. So guess what you got to do? Stay with God. Even if the entire world turns their back on you, as long as you got God on your side, you're going to be all right. You don't have to compromise who you are in Christ to fit in with the world. And are you going to have enemies? Of course. Jesus had them. Jeremiah, everybody that God chose dealt with enemies. Joseph's brothers sold them into slavery. Gideon had to fight all those men with only 300 of his own. Look at Moses, chosen to lead the children of Israel to freedom and out of bondage. Do you realize how the enemy comes up against those that stand on God's promises? Because to stand on God's promises means that you're standing on the word of God, which is the light that exposes all darkness, all negativity, all evil, all sinful nature. Anything that is not of God, it exposes it. And the enemy is upset. Because he wants to silence your message. He wants you to stop giving God the praise. He wants you to wallow in self-pity. And you don't have to do that. It's so easy to do, but you don't have to. Give God thanks. Even if you're dealing with an illness, give him thanks that you're still here, despite the fact that you might be dealing with some health challenges. You're still here. Maybe you got aches and pain in your body, but you're still able to move around. Give them thanks for that. We have to start looking at the positive in every situation, because the enemy would have us to dwell on the negative. And we understand that God doesn't move by how we feel about the circumstance, because our emotions are fickle. He moves by our faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. He moves on our faith. And so we have to be bold and stand on our faith. I'm getting ready to close, but I wanted to read a few scriptures, and I'm going to close out with one of this, another scripture before I close out. But when you think about the enemy, again, you have to understand that God allows the opposition not for us to falter or to fold, but to for us to glorify his name, that he can do anything but fail. And so when we think about Psalms 23 and 5, he says he'll prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. It also talks about in Psalms that he'll make our enemies our footstool. And so what does that mean? To prepare a table in the presence of your enemies means that he's going to set out the table for them to see all that they did. It didn't stop you. They tried to degrade you, to bring you down, and he elevated you. So he prepares the table to show them he has his hand on you. To make your enemy a footstool means that they're beneath you. So every time they try to set you up, God moves you up. And every setback becomes a comeback. Every difficulty becomes an opportunity. And so we have to understand that the enemy has no power. We have the power. And we have to use it. We have to speak life. We have to stand on the word. And we have to exercise our faith. Psalms 21, and I believe it's 11. I'm going to read this one, and then I'm going to read one more before I close out. Psalms 21. And 11. Psalms 21 and 11 says, although they plot against you, their evil schemes would never succeed. 12 says, for they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. But it's important to be mindful that Psalms 21 and 11 says, their plot against you and their evil schemes will never succeed. And you know what bothers them is that when you pray for them and you don't treat them the way they treat you, because you don't have to do that. You'd already got the victory. It heaps hot coal over their heads. That's what scripture says. They don't understand it. So what they do, they continue to come at you and try to provoke you, because the enemy wants to say, you know what? That person ain't a child of God. Mm-mm, they don't believe in God. I want to show you. And so your attack becomes intense and they turn the fire up. And that's okay. They can turn the heat up. They turned the heat up on the three Hebrew boys, but it didn't burn them up. It just refined them. It purged them and it made them more purposeful. What did it do? Nothing. Think about the process of a diamond. It doesn't destroy the stone. It perfects it. So when you're going through the fire, it's perfecting you for the purpose that God has predestined for your life. That's why James says to count it all joy, because it's working out for your good, according to Romans 8 and 28. As we get ready to close, I just want to read Psalms 37. I advise that you read this one. This is Psalms in its entirety at some point when you can. I'm not going to read it in its entirety. But I just want to read just a few verses of Psalms. And so I'm going to read Psalms 37, 1 through 1 through 9. Or 1 through 13, and then I'm going to stop. But it actually goes through 40, so I'm not going to read all of it. So I'm going to read 1 through 14, and then I'm going to read verses 39 and 40, okay? And it reads, and I'm reading from the NLT version. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiant like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm, for the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the godly. They snare at them in defiance, but the Lord just laughs, for he sees their day of judgment coming. And that was one Psalms 37, 1 through 13. I said 14, but Psalms 1 through 13. And now 39 and 40 of the same Psalms says, the Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in a time of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them and they find shelter in him. And so what I want to say to you is continue to be the beacon of light. Some of the people that may be plotting against you might not really understand the reason why God has put you there. And he plants all of his chosen vessels in certain places for a purpose. And some of them may talk about you because you're exposing the dark areas in their life. Continue to be a beacon of light so that they can come to know Jesus and the pardon of their sins. Don't change who you are. Don't compromise your faith. Be who God has called you to be. Don't allow what other people think of you to change who you are. Exposed. Their plot versus God's chosen. You are chosen for such a time as this. Stand firm. You don't know who you're actually helping. It might feel like you're all alone. It might feel that you're being targeted. But you are being targeted. The enemy is targeting you, trying to attack you to get you to stop being a beacon of light, a beacon of hope. But God has targeted you and positioned you in the place that you are now so that you can target every demonic spirit, every dark assignment, every sinful nature. And with the help of the good Lord, it can be eradicated, destroyed. Because God wants all of his children to be blessed and to have eternal life. And so it is our duty as his believers, as his children, as his followers, as disciples of the word of God, to let our light so shine so people can see the good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are commissioned to share the gospel, to share the gospel so that we can shed every dead weight. We are commissioned to be the light in the midst of this dark world. So stay the course and be encouraged, because we serve a mighty God and he shall not be denied. Exposed, their plot versus God's chosen. You are chosen for such a time as this. Go forth, be encouraged until we speak again. Good night.
Up your praises.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve.